to I'm a Public Health Professional, Get Me Out of Here, and whew, what a scorcher. Well, it may not be where you're listening to this, but it certainly is when I'm recording it. Stanley, another glass of ice water, please. What do you mean we can't afford it? What's this? Lager? Cider? Yes, this week a recent investigation found out that in most of our supermarkets you can now drink more than the daily alcohol limit for less than £1. In Sainsbury's, Asda and Tesco, the cost of lager and cider is now officially cheaper to buy than sparkling mineral water. With alcohol abuse costing more than £21 billion a year, the news will put more pressure on the government to introduce minimum alcohol pricing. The Treasury did say it would introduce a ban on very cheap booze, as it termed it in February, the system working by banning pubs and shops from selling alcohol at less than the total cost of the duty payable to the Treasury plus VAT. Are you still with us? Well, getting out the trusty jigsaw calculator, plus times double the number you first thought of, minus 37 equals, that still means you can knock out a can of high-strength lager for about 50 pence. The problem, of course, is a worldwide one, with the World Health Organization estimating that alcohol is responsible for 1 in 10 deaths across the globe. Approximately 38% of the world's population drink alcohol, with the average person drinking 17.7 litres of pure alcohol a year. Binge drinking has become a particular problem in this country, of course, and scientists claim they've developed a way of predicting which teenagers are likely to binge drink, using a combination of 40 factors, including brain structure, personality and major life events. The researchers say they can now be 70% accurate. Of course, it's one thing predicting who is most likely to binge drink, and quite another preventing them from doing it. MPs have urged DEFRA to take control of the UK's food security strategy to help prevent another Gates scandal. Currently, DEFRA, the Department of Business, Innovation and Skills and the Department of Energy and Climate Change all have a say in food security, meaning lines of responsibility are blurred to say the least. The Food Standards Agency this week published what they have termed the most accurate ever survey of foodborne illness. Figures suggest there are 500,000 food poisoning cases every year, with Campylobacter being the most common foodborne pathogen, being responsible for just over half of that total. Salmonella is the type of food poisoning that causes the most hospital admissions, running at about 2,500 per year. It's still thought the figures may be an underestimate, as many people don't seek treatment from their GPs and therefore don't appear in any of the official statistics. With over 1 million public service workers set to go on strike over pay and conditions, the Local Government Association have warned that councils in England face a £5.2 billion funding gap over the next 2 years. LGA Chair Sir Merrick Cockrell said the next year would be make or break for adult social care, local services and the NHS. He also criticised what he called a vicious cycle of overspending on a broken system, calling instead for the NHS councils and the government to provide better joined up service for older people. Situation isn't any better in Wales, where a proposed reduction in council's funding could lead to environmental health services no longer being viable. Well, that's according to the Welsh Local Government Association anyway. The warning came after Welsh Local Government Minister Leslie Griffiths wrote to councils to warn they face cuts in 2015-17 of 4.5%, not as previously thought, 1.5%. Environmental health services provide some of the cheapest in local authorities, and further cuts would have a massive effect on government programmes aimed at improving public health. Didn't know what time it was, the lights were low, oh, oh. I leaned back on my radio, oh, oh. Some cat was laying down some rock and roll, at a solar set. This week, NASA launched a new satellite which aims to map the amount of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere. The orbiting Carbon Observatory 2 satellite will make 69,000 measurements every orbit, or 8 million each 16-day cycle. Researchers will also collect data from ground stations once each day to verify the accuracy of the satellite's readings. About half of the carbon dioxide generated by human activity is reabsorbed each year on average, but scientists don't quite understand where it goes or whether the sinks that take up the CO2 will continue to operate in years to come. Meanwhile, some experts in China are saying that it could take up to 16 years for pollution levels in the country's major cities to drop to acceptable levels. The 16-year time frame means that anyone born today in Beijing who grows up in the city will spend his or her entire childhood breathing unhealthy air. In recent years, parents in Beijing, a city of more than 21 million, have become increasingly anxious about the air quality and other forms of pollution. Those people who can afford to do so are moving abroad or decamping to cleaner parts of China. Multinational companies are having a much harder time recruiting foreign workers for Beijing jobs, and Beijing residents are stocking up on expensive air purifiers, and some international schools have even set up outdoor sports domes made of synthetic fabric. Finally, this week, a rise in brain injuries among cyclists could be linked to bike-sharing programs, according to a new study. The report published in the American Journal of Public Health found that the risk that a bicycle injury would involve a head injury increased by 14% following the introduction of the schemes. The health benefits of cycling in terms of exercise have been well documented, but as a recent poll in Cambridge found, that's not the whole story. Figures suggest that 60% of accidents in the city involve bike riders. A recent BBC poll on people's attitudes to cycling also showed older Britons were more likely than youngsters to believe the roads were too perilous. That was a view of 61% of those aged 65 and over, compared to 45% of 18 to 24-year-olds. Well, that's it for another 7 days. And, oh, Stanley, I thought I told you Lycra and Furbies don't go. And that's the Tour de France. Oh, really? Anyway, we've only got one bike, but they... What? Well, yeah, I suppose four legs, or in your case, six legs, are better than two. And, yeah, we could do ourselves a job, couldn't we? Can you ride tandem? Watch out, Team Sky. Here we come. See you next week. I'm a public health professional, get me out of here, is written, presented and produced by Pete Hill. All comments made are purely personal and do not relate to any other body. This podcast is protected by a Creative Commons licence. Any unauthorised reproduction for commercial gain is strictly prohibited. Sing the song, around, round, wheels going round, round.